the best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us this morning here for another AgriTalk. Davis Michelson is along for the ride. And I am looking forward to our conversation, our monthly conversation with Dr. James Mintert. He is at Purdue University where he is an ag economist. And he's the author of the Ag Economy Barometer, along with Michael Langemeyer and the CME Group. Jim, welcome back to AgriTalk, man. It's good to talk with you again.
Great to be back, Chip.
All right. So bottom lining it here, the Ag Economy Barometer Sentiment Index rose 6 points in July to a reading of 103. Nice to get a little bit of a bounce in the overall barometer.
Yeah, it was nice. It's a pretty small one, though. And from my perspective, really doesn't change the trend. I mean, if you look at it, the barometer is still between, well, all three indices, the barometer, the index of current conditions, index of future expectations, they're all still down between 23 and roughly 25% compared to this time last year. So sentiment is not very good, although we did get a small bump this month. It was a little bit of a surprise because the current condition index is what drove that, and that was up 10 points this month. And as you and Davis know, you know, with prices going down over the last month, that was a little bit of a surprise, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So what did drive it? Why did we get the uptick?
Well, I think what happened with the index of current conditions was the fact that people felt a little bit better about their current financial situation, which is largely driven by the fact that they were able to make some crop sales here in 22, the 21 crop, obviously. But in 2022, that were significantly higher prices than cost of production and probably higher than what they ever expected. And at this point in the year, people are starting to maybe reflect on that. But, you know, if you look at the questions about the future, people are still pretty concerned. I mean, they're very concerned about input cost. You know, over 40% of the people in the survey said that that's their number one concern going forward. They're concerned about rising interest rates. I think that was 17% of the people in the survey. They're concerned about the possibility of lower crop and livestock prices. That was 19%. And 15% of the people are still worried about the availability of input. So it's a very uncertain, a very uneasy time for producers. And, you know, I think that's what's given us these relatively weak sentiment readings.
Yeah. Dr. Mintert, amid that uncertainty coming up, I noticed this in last month's report, and then I see it pops up here again, and I've heard it from other sources as well. In uncertain times, are farmers more or less likely to change their cropping plans, their rotational plans maybe? It looks like you've got some survey respondents saying that they're reconsidering their cropping plans for the upcoming year.
Yeah, I think in this month's survey, it was about 24% of the people that said they're thinking about making some changes in response to these high input prices. And then, of course, we did the follow-up. If you responded that you're thinking about making some changes, we said, you know, what are you thinking about doing? What would be the change? What would be the biggest change or primary change in your operation? And over half, 53%, said that they would increase the percentage of their farm's cropland to soybean. 27% said more corn. 19% they said they'd plant more wheat. And very few, just 1%, said they'd plant more cotton. And I don't think you can take our survey responses and really translate that into what that means for acreage next year on a direct basis. But it does tell you people are worried about this. They're thinking about it. Yeah. And if you had to bet on it, you'd bet on some increase in soybean acreage. Now, the magnitude of the increase, you can't really take from our survey and draw an inference from that. But it certainly highlights the fact that people are leaning that direction. And the concern is how many dollars they would have invested per acre. And then this concern about weakening output prices. And what people are worried about is having a lot of dollars invested and not be able to get it back, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So you put a bunch of money into growing a corn crop in 2023 to watch, you know, to see a good growing season and big yields and prices deteriorating, and it can leave you with a knot in your gut as you're watching a big crop grow. And nobody wants to do that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And I think what happened here with prices over the last roughly 30 to 45 days is an indication of why people are worried about that, right? That they've got big money invested in these crops, and all of a sudden, what looked like a very profitable opportunity all of a sudden starts to evaporate. And that's what's got people on edge. And I think the other thing that if you look at, you know, we had a question in there about what kind of input price change do you expect to see in the upcoming year? And there's more than one way to look at those responses. But I think one of the interesting things about that response is the diversity or divergence in responses. We've got some people that think input prices next year will actually go down compared to 2022. On the other hand, we've got some folks that think that prices, roughly a quarter of our survey says they think input prices will go up by more than 10%. And, you know, that divergence out there just speaks to the uncertainty and the confusion. All of that leads to weak sentiment and makes people just very uneasy about what's taking place.
And that uncertainty on the input side of things is almost replicated in the land outlook and what the land price outlook, isn't it?
Yeah, the land price outlook was interesting this month. I mean, this is the second month in a row that people's short-term farm plan value expectations have actually gone down. I think that index is down now 18 points over the last 2 months. So we've had a 9-point decline 2 months in a row. When we ask people what they think is going to happen to farmland values in their area in the next 12 months, the longer-term index actually went up this month. It was down last month, but it did go up this month 9 points. So those two were moving in opposite directions. And those two indices don't always move in tandem. So, you know, it's not like people's long-term and short-term expectations always match. But the divergence this month was very unusual. And of course, we asked the follow-up question to people who think farmland values are going to go up over the next 5 years. And they came back with what they've been telling us, which is they think non-farm investor demand and inflation are going to drive that. And I think that probably explains the divergence between the short term and the long term. In the short term, inflation probably not so much impact on farmland values. You look out 5 years, farmland historically has been a pretty good store of value relative to inflation.
Jim, that being the case, obviously agreed, but are there that many non-farmer investors out there buying farmland right now?
That's a good question. When we had our top farmer conference back in January, we had Rex Schrader from Schrader Auctions and Halderman from Halderman Farmland Value and Farmland Auction and Management. And we asked them that question. And they said at their auctions, and of course, both of them conduct farmland auctions around the nation, not just here in the Corn Belt. They said that farmland buyers, most predominantly, are still farmers, but they definitely had a presence of non-farm investors at those auctions, and that was probably driving some of that perception. And they also said that those non-farmland buyers, even though they're not necessarily buying the farmland, they are supporting the value that comes out of that auction.
Yeah.
And the other point they made about that was, I think a lot of times you think about non-farm investors, you think about big pension funds and things like that. They both made the point that many times their non-farmer investors at those auctions are local business people. They're local people who've chosen to allocate a portion of their investment portfolio to farmland. It's not necessarily the big faraway investment fund from New York or California.
Yeah, that's right. Good.
Yeah, interesting. Jim, back on the slight tick up in the current conditions index, did the ERP payments have any impact on that, do you think?
That's a good question. We didn't ask that, so I really couldn't give a definitive response. But clearly, people felt better about their current financial situation. Mm-hmm. You know, that index really refers to what's taking place right now. And so we saw that modest bump up in the farm financial index. That really is focused on where you're at in 2022. When we ask people about where do you think you're going to be a year from now in 2023, roughly half of the people now, 2 months in a row, have said, we think we're going to be worse off financially a year from now.
Exactly. Only got about 30, 40 seconds left here, but talk to me about the influence of interest rates on rising interest rates on farmers' attitudes.
Well, we're starting to pick that up. And of course, there hasn't been a big move yet, but so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, particularly with respect to farmland. And then, you know, if you start thinking about it, is it going to have an impact on some other things with respect to things like investing in farm machinery and buildings? And it was interesting when we did the follow-up question this month, what is the primary reason you think now is a bad time to make large investments in things like buildings and machinery? 44% said it was the increase in prices. And I think interest rates are going to play into that down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Great update, Jim. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chip. Look forward to next month.
Absolutely. We do too. That is Dr. James Mintert, ag economist there at Purdue University, with the results of the July Ag Barometer